Hi, Broadway fans. We're back for another week of Hairspray. I should say we're back for the third time for Hairspray. It's Hairspray the movie this time. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Broadway Breakdown.
Oh, man. I love this song so much.
I love it's it when like John Travolta's yeah. not there.
Well, wow, we are starting off real good. I was just going to say, like, it's just a showstopper. Like, it's like you're waiting, and then you're, like, pretty much at the halfway point, and it's just all this fun and all this upbeatness, and you're like, yes.
Well, it's my favorite because it's just, like, seeing the Supreme, not seeing the Supremes, but, like, you know, bringing them into the mix, and that's always my favorite part of the play.
The Dynamites.
Yeah, the Dynamites. So, yeah, I love it.
Hi, guys. I'm Brianna Phipps. I'll be your host for this show. You can find me at bphipps14 on Instagram and Twitter, and we have a more than full house, so let me get started introducing my amazing co-hosts.
Hello, I'm Allie Nasta. You can find me on Twitter at Allie Nasta and on Instagram at Allie Girl.
I'm 123 Jackie B on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm Alexis Torres. You can find me where all shenanigans will ensue at atorres890.
And on the couch.
Hi, I'm Becca Brown. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B Talks TV.
All right, guys, we are. This is fun.
I'm excited.
We have so many people.
It's so much fun.
Exciting. I love it.
If you have fun here, that means you come back for other shows that we're doing.
Yes, for sure.
I'm calling you out on air.
But only if you like the other shows or have seen the other shows we're doing.
Definitely. Know about the other.
So let's just start. Let's go over kind of like an overview of what we thought of the movie. Just like a quick synopsis. What did you think, Alexis?
To be honest, now rewatching the film, I still like it. It's just that obviously there's a few things that I'm kind of like, you didn't take. There's a lot of things from the play that you didn't take, and they did things that were different. Stupid picture frame. but other than that, I enjoyed the fact that because I looked a lot of the behind the scenes stuff too, and a lot of interviews and stuff. The cast actually had a really good time on there, so just you can kind of see it through film as well. So I don't know. I thought it was great, and I also like the director too because he used to be part of. So You Think You Can Dance and things like that. So, I don't know. I thought it was fine.
Miss Jackie, shaking
your
head.
I agree. I'm going to move out.
It's cool.
I agree with Alexis on, like, her assessment of it, where, like, she liked some things, she didn't like some things. That's where I'm at. But, like, I feel like because of Adam Shankman, I can't have nice things.
Sure.
Because he ruined Rock of Ages. And to me...
Oh, is he the one that did Rock of
Ages? Yeah, he is the one that did Rock of Ages. Yeah.
I don't know how I didn't know that.
I hope your worldview has changed.
Yeah.
You're like, things are different now.
Yeah. And I mean, I like some of the casting, but one of the things he wanted to do was remove the too much campiness in this. And I'm like, why would you want to remove the camp from Hairspray? Which is my biggest problem with some of the numbers, is they become less campy. Some of the performances become less campy. And then you're like, well, what is this? I don't understand.
And Allie, what are your takeaway from it?
I personally loved it. Like, ever since, like, the first time watching it and then rewatching it, I just get butterflies in my stomach and I find myself smiling the whole time because I'm really cheesy like that. And I just love all the numbers. I love the bright colors. It makes me excited. All of the musical numbers. Me and my roommate were talking about it, how we just, like, I can't stop smiling. So I personally, there's obviously certain things throughout the movie that I'm like, could have gone with or without. But overall, I'm a huge fan.
And Beck on the couch, what'd you think?
Like Allie said, it's like a feel-good movie. It makes me happy. The cast, I thought, was really good. I love Zac Efron.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody.
Saw that coming.
I love his face.
So, James Marsden, too.
Yes, he was the highlight of this entire movie.
He's so
one
good.
Of the most, I feel like, underrated actors of our generation.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, go see Westworld. He's so good in Westworld. He's so good in everything
he's
he does.
Good at everything.
And,
yeah.
And I don't think he gets enough roles or enough
praise. He doesn't. No,
we're going to talk about James Marsden. Don't worry. We're going to get there. I am with you two a little more. I will say, the first time I saw this movie was in theaters in 2007, and I just liked it so much. I hadn't seen it since until this past week when I rewatched it for the show.
Yep.
That being said, do not be negative. I did appreciate it more this time and liked more about it this time than I did the original time I watched it.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I will say that.
But you also saw a really good touring cast.
So I did. I was a little jaded.
Yeah.
Because I was like so... My touring cast was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Aaron Tveit.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't have to talk about that because it
if
makes me sad.
If there's a man to make
it.
You smooth, he's it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love him.
So let's talk about the cast. Let's get into the cast. So we have Nikki Belonsky playing Tracy, who is an unknown, which I love. I love that they do this.
Yeah, I thought she was really good.
I thought she was amazing. There's something about her, just watching her energy and her facial expressions. She's got so much talent. And you can see it throughout the movie. And she kind of, whenever she walks into a scene, even though it's not live, you feel like it should be live because she just brings so much to everything she does. I think she's just so quirky and cute and just really sparks.
I was very surprised. I thought her career was going to take off after this film. And I don't know if it was a personal decision on her end or what, but she doesn't. You don't see her anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even think she's working in the business
anymore. I think part of this has to do with the way that we treat bigger, full-figured women in this industry. And we put them into niches, and we say you have to play this specific type of role, and we only give that role to certain actresses over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's hard for a newcomer to break in.
Yeah, I think she did do a couple TV show spots after Hairspray came out, and then eventually she just kind of died out after that.
I think I saw her a couple times. I can't even remember the last one I saw her in, but I did see her, but then it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, because she tried to play like a, like kind of, not a fat Amy, but like the fact that she was trying to play like an edgy, you know, best friend chick, and it didn't work out very well for her.
So. I just wish, I wish that she'd at least even gone to Broadway, because I thought that her voice was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Even if you saw her auditions, because she won through a contest that they were doing. I think
Cold Stone was when she got
cute! I still love that video. I think it's still on YouTube also, but yeah, I think she... I don't know. I don't think she even said anything in her interviews that she wanted to be a Broadway star. I don't know. It was very interesting.
I don't know. I just would like to see her come back.
Yeah,
for sure.
She has plenty of talent.
There was only one part about her that I didn't like, and it wasn't her. It was a directorial choice or a song choice or whoever came up with it, and it's just me being nitpicky and me being a little too much about the original.
About. Yep.
The original music goes, oh. And in the live version and this version, they change it to oh. And I don't know why. For me, it bugs me. It's me being nitpicky. It's me being a little bit too much. But I was just like, why are you changing it? It's changing the flow of the song for me.
I don't know.
And then we have John Travolta playing Edna.
Yes. You guys have some feelings about him. I thought he brought so much love and kind of I can't even explain it. It was like a sense of, I felt like motherly love, and I could really get that out of him. I will say, when I first heard he was at that role, I kind of was angry. Like, why? Why would you do that? Because you have this image of who John Travolta is. And I will say, a little bit in the whole movie, all you see is John Travolta, John Travolta. So you kind of have to separate yourself from those feelings. But he gave this motherly love to it, and he was so, I thought he was cute. Like, aww. I got lovingness out of him.
My problem with John Travolta, I like John Travolta in other things. I like him in Grease. I like him,
Saturday Night.
I like him in Saturday Night Fever. You know, like, I was totally blanking out.
The Angel One.
Oh, yeah, I did all
of
that.
I like all of his past things, but the problem I have is that you have him in a role that is traditionally played by people who are more professional drag queens, and there are so many professional drag queens out there that could have done better than he did, that it made me angry. It made me angry the way that he plays the character more like a victim. I hated that whole sub-storyline where it's like the almost cheating plot line before you have Christopher Walken singing that song instead of them just, like, truly being in love. And the fact that he wore prosthetics for the role instead of just being a...
Which he was not... That was during the time when he was a little bigger.
Yeah. He is a little bigger, and it just... The prosthetics look weird. You could have hired an actual... I have a list of, like, big drag queens that I would have liked to see play the role. Vicky Vox, Darian Lake, Delta Work. There was one, Delighted to Be Here, who was on America's Got Talent, like, a year or two ago.
Yeah, no, you're right.
That I think would have done this role really well, and to give it to someone just because they're a big name was so irritating to me.
For me, it's like, I don't even know... There was a couple acting choices for him that I didn't like. One was him making it a little more feminine.
Accent.
That was the other thing
people
I was going to say.
From Baltimore do not talk like that. It was a little weird because there's little things he says like, no, what is it? It's like the way, it's like.
I can't even do it.
I can't either.
Now.
Well, I know Kathy Bates did it as well in American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that is something that maybe like a long time ago accent from Baltimore. I'm not sure. But if you're going to make that choice, I feel like the rest of the cast has to be talking like that. They're all from Baltimore, so why is only one person
that accent? As a person who lived in Maryland for a very long time, there is an accent from Baltimore. He tried in certain instances to have it. Like, if you wouldn't say Baltimore, you'd say Baltimore. You would say, you pronounce your O's like this, kind of. Boat to what, you know, like, kind of like that. But then he mixed in this, like, Southern accent. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know why it's, like, half Baltimore, half Southern, but he's the only person in the cast doing this.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm kind of in the middle, because I'm also in the same boat, because I was just like, I don't know what you're trying to... I thought John Travolta was having a stroke for a majority of the film. But at the same time, I liked that he was also kind of excited that he was in this role. Like, you can see it. Yeah. I mean, the one thing I missed...
Well, because he didn't get to be closeted for a movie.
Was, yeah, that was great. Nice. Good for him.
He came out of the closet for one movie.
But the thing is, the one thing I missed from the movie that they did really well in the live taping that just came out was the fact that you can see the love between Edna.
Wilbur.
Yeah. So, because even though, I mean, that's probably why I like Harvey so much, is because you can see it, even though there's a lot of sass happening.
I also really just like, I like the fact that we know it's a man. I like that there's parts where Harvey Firestone would get all deep and be like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, that's true. Like, it's a terrible impersonation.
No, but he, I know what you mean.
He would be very, he'd be very masculine. And I thought John Travolta was very feminine in the role.
Yeah.
But I did appreciate, I liked that they brought him in with dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because
that
is one thing that we don't see.
That's literally the only thing I liked. And it's just because it's John Travolta and he's a very good dancer.
Yeah, I loved their numbers together on the roof while they're doing laundry, just like the twirling and then having them change.
Or the Mama Walker in 60s, the dancing
part. Yeah, like, it was cute.
It was very cute.
Yeah.
What about you, Becca?
I'm thinking my opinion's unpopular.
This is a safe place. You can say whatever you want.
Look, an opinion cannot be wrong.
Yeah.
It's an opinion.
It's opinions, that's true.
No, I think that John Travolta brought, like, joy in the movie. And, I actually was, when I was rewatching it before watching Hairspray Live, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot John Travolta.
Forgot because he had 800 prosthetics on his face. So.
Well, yeah, that.
Yeah. And his legs and his arms and his body.
Right.
His entire
I'm
body.
Like, I forgot that was John Travolta.
It's okay.
I think that you brought up a good point, is that, like, you forget that he's supposed to be, like a drag queen.
Yeah.
Because when I watched the movie the first time, I didn't understand because I hadn't seen the live version yet, or, like, I hadn't seen it. So I was basing it fully off of, oh, this is Hairspray, I'm watching it, no opinions. So I thought he was supposed to just be a more, like, a bigger mom. I didn't realize it was supposed to be a drag queen that was playing him. So I can understand why people that had seen the Broadway version beforehand...
Or even the original movie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That you could be like, whoa, you're trying to totally change a character who I've grown to understand, and you know what I mean? So I can understand where you're coming from.
I mean, you're
that.
Definitely, it's going to be a different take with people that haven't seen the show and people that have.
And that's the whole point of making these movies, is to bring people who've never seen the musical into it, and then they can do research after.
Pretty much.
But totally. Jennifer Lee Wells in the chat actually said the last time she saw Nikki was in Smash. Apparently she was in for like one episode.
How did I like miss that?
She, like I said, she's got jet black hair. I think her makeup's a little heavier.
Have to go back and rewatch Smash.
Mm-hmm. And going back to Nikki, she wrapped a movie earlier this year.
Shut
called
up!
Dog Ears.
Yes, I'm so happy now.
Yeah.
Called Dog Ears.
Dog Ears.
Aww. It's in post production.
Nice. I'm so happy. Right. It's okay. So she's getting business. It's just she's probably taking a break or something like that.
Okay.
Good for her.
So moving forward, we then have Michelle Pfeiffer playing Velma Von Tessel.
Okay, guys. I'm a huge Michelle Pfeiffer fan.
I liked her.
Huge.
Because of Grease 2, admit it.
Yeah, and also she was, like, my favorite Catwoman, besides the lady who played Catwoman in the 60s.
The original series.
Yeah. So, like, it's hard for me, because at the same time, I'm kind of like,
Halle
I'm cringing.
Halle Berry's not your favorite Catwoman?
Huh?
Halle Berry wasn't your favorite Catwoman?
Oh, we don't want to talk about that. Terrible. We don't have time for this. I will take up the entire 2 hours. But the fact of just, there was a little, like, that's why I really liked Kristen Chenoweth in this role, because she's supposed to be overdramatic. That's the whole point of the role. Michelle Pfeiffer didn't really do that. She was just kind of a bitch.
Yeah. See, actually appreciated the way Michelle Pfeiffer played it. Like, I like both ways.
Yeah.
But I just like the way, because she made me feel like she was still the queen.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I feel like the other ways is, like, they're, like, reaching for their past life of when they were. And she's like, honey, I'm still on top.
Well, Chenoweth's a comedian, though. So she plays everything pretty tongue-in-cheek. And Michelle Pfeiffer is not a comedian.
Yeah, like, I think I could appreciate both different ways of playing it. I don't think that either are wrong. I think that they're both fun. And I mean, her voice, obviously, she doesn't have Kristen Chenoweth's voice. Nobody has. No, yeah.
But I loved her scene of how we got to actually see what it looked like being Miss Baltimore Krabs. And even though we were like, okay, Michelle Pfeiffer, we can totally tell this wasn't in the past, but it doesn't matter. Yeah.
She looks exactly great.
You look exactly the same. Yeah. But it was kind of cool, like, because I always found the baton twirling really fun, because usually whoever plays the role can do it. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, look at you, Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm so proud of you. So, I don't know. I thought it was fine. Yeah. I guess there's something happening. Anyway, so
there's Star Wars happening.
Maybe Indiana Jones.
It was Indiana Jones.
Yeah. But
same. I'm so sorry.
Same thing.
Not same thing.
But you know what I mean. But the fact that she played this sexy role, and it was a little awkward to see her and Christopher Walken trying to flirt. Like, it's just. It was a lot for me.
That was awkward.
Yeah.
That was a really awkward scene.
Speaking of, no.
Yeah, let's move on to Christopher Walken now. Because Christopher Walken played Wilbur. And I...
Not my favorite Wilbur.
Yeah, I don't like what they did with Wilbur.
Yeah.
No.
Because
he's supposed to adore her.
It was kind of like, there was kind of a separation between the two, and it was like a give and take, you know? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a genuine, like, connection. It was just kind of like, okay, the mom's talking, and then Wilbur's talking, and then it was just kind of, Edna, but like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of this, like, you wanted to see them love each other, and you would see it, and then it would like kind of go away. Yeah, there was like a wall between them.
I really hated that they changed the line, because in the play, and they did it in the live version, when he's talking to Tracy in the beginning, and he's like, you need to reach for your dreams. I got my dream. And he, like, looks at her, and he goes, I've been married to her for this long. And it's such a sweet moment. And in this one, they're like, the hearty heart shop. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
We didn't even and get then she, like, and then she walks away all, like, sad and depressed. I'm like, what is happening right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that was weird. That whole changing of that backstory, I feel like, destroyed their relationship. Yeah. And to me, I said this in the last show I did here about the Broadway show, where... I love that song that they have together,
Timeless to Me,
because it shows that they love each other no matter what, and that's to me what a real relationship is, and it just ruined that.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of got a little bit of it towards, not the end, but like in the You Can't Stop the Beat, where he's like, go get it, baby! Yeah. Like, that's like the only time where you saw that he clearly loved her, but the entire movie...
Yeah, the other time it seems like he's just too preoccupied with his shop.
Yeah. But like, that's what I loved about Martin Short, was because... He just, like, even though he doesn't have to growl at her the entire movie, he did. It was awesome.
Canada's finest.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm on the couch.
Like, it's hard to, like...
Yeah.
Comparing the movie to what we just saw with the live version, I thought Martin Short was just a billion times better.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He had this spark Wilbur. About him.
Yeah,
he's Martin Short.
And he has great chemistry with Harvey Fierce.
When I paired them two together, I was like, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
So moving on, sorry to cut it a little short, I just know that we have a lot to get through. Amanda Bynes, we have for Penny.
I adore her.
Now see, when I originally watched it, I didn't like her just because she didn't have the power behind her voice that Carrie Butler has. But I let that go this time, and I was like, you know what? I actually do really like her in this part.
She did a great job.
She could have tanked really bad, like, let's be honest. But I think she did good. Like there's no other way I can put it. It's not, like, the greatest thing, but it's not the worst thing. She did okay.
I think she, like, captures, like, the awkwardness and the quirkiness so perfectly that you can't help but, even though she doesn't say anything sometimes in the scene, you just look at her facial expressions, and you can't help but laugh.
She just had, like, that blink, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the awkward like face. She does that well.
But also the funny thing that I found with Amanda Bynes was every time she was looking at seaweed, it looked like she wanted to eat him. It was great.
That is
it's true.
She looks in love.
Like I love when there's a point in time because on my mom's TV compared to the TV I have at home, it's much smaller. So when you watch the TV version when they put the movie up, they kind of like scale it down. Yeah. So at one point there's a zoomed in shot of her on her lollipop and like twirling her hair looking at seaweed during Run and Tell That. And it's just her face, and she's just like, it threw me off, but I just love that she, like, put that in there. She probably was in the background. Yeah. I was like, good for you, girl. Good.
And then we have Queen Latifah playing Motorbath Maybelle.
Yes.
Yes.
She is my mom forever. I love
her.
She
is queen for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely queen.
She was great. Absolutely great. I know where I've been is... I can play that song at any point in time, and I still cry, because you can hear the hurt and also the fact that she, like, the determination, all of it into one song.
Like I said, the only problem I had with Jennifer Hudson in the TV one is that she's not big anymore.
Yeah.
She's skinny.
I completely agree. Queen Latifah was a nice big woman.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Hudson did a great performance. It's just, it really is hard to take somebody seriously when they're like, eat all this food. And you're like, Jennifer Hudson, you are not eating that food. I know it.
Yeah, she's got like a protein shake in the back somewhere.
You got your Jenny Craig going on.
Yeah, right there. See, it's for fine. Me, when Jennifer Hudson, I literally was so astounded by her performance
that I
didn't even care about like the kind of like differences between it. I just, her performance it's brought just hard, me to tears.
But no, but it, and I've always been a fan of Jennifer Hudson, but for someone who, I mean, I'm curvy, I'm not big, but I used to be big, and in my brain, seeing her sing that song, mm-hmm. it made me feel like I can be beautiful even though I'm big. Same thing with Edna and Tracy and things like that. But then when I see Jennifer Hudson, who has a personal...
she used to be big.
Used to be big, and then she has a personal trainer, she diets, she does all these things.
All I wanted was them to change the line to, I never let this get in my way, to, when I was big, I never let it get in my way. That's all I wanted. Yeah. Change that one line, and it would have worked.
I mean, again, Jennifer Hudson can do no wrong.
Don't pretend you're eating all the chicken wings in the scene, either. Like, I was like, this is a lie!
But besides the fact that Jennifer Hudson can out-sing anybody on this planet,
oh my gosh,
I will love that forever.
No, like, acting, singing-wise, like, oh,
no, she's got that in...
Queen, as well as...
in tenfold. Like, it's fine.
I was just like, that exists in real life, like, when she was singing. Back to Queen Latifah, she did an amazing job, too. I think both of those scenes are so powerful. And it is interesting to see two different people portray such a powerful song and really just, like, bring... You feel like you're in the scene with them. And
this is the show-stealing role.
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
And this is the 11 o'clock... This is the person who has the 11 o'clock number that you were talking about. And it's interesting, too, because... they made a change to have her singing this song while, like, they're doing that, protest scene versus what they did on Hairspray Live, where she has, like, this kind of speech in the record shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought both ways, like, both interpretations, one is, like, a bold, powerful move, and the other one is, like, a quiet moment in the rain. I think they both played equally well for different reasons.
Yeah,
I agree.
And then moving on, we have, we were talking about James Marsden.
Yeah.
That was a great choice for Courtney Collins.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm in love with him. Like, he can just smile anytime, and I'm just gonna be like, oh.
He played that role so freaking well.
Like, outstanding.
Yeah.
And his voice, like, you would never really expect him to, like, have such a powerful voice.
Well, he was in, Enchanted.
Yeah.
I mean, did you hear those runs he was doing when he goes, that's like, I was like, oh!
Yeah. Like, can we get more of him, like, just singing? If he needs to be in more roles where he's put out like that.
I totally agree with you that he's very underrated.
Yeah.
He's so talented, and I feel like people always want
extremely handsome.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Well, I think
just a little handsome.
You know, he always gets these, like, man Barbie roles, but I'm like, I feel like James Marsden could do more.
He was in that new cowboy film.
Oh,
And, like, I was so disappointed because they built him, and, like, I'm not going to ruin the film, but he's only in it for a very short period of time.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Not the film. I can't remember what his, like, exact role was, but, like, yeah, I know what
he's
film
really
talking
good
about.
In Westworld.
Yeah, he was very good in Westworld.
Also in The Best of Me, he broke my heart.
Yes, he did. I don't want to talk about it, okay?
And then we have Brittany Snow and Zac Efron. I'm going to group them together as Amber and Link.
Why did they cut her song when she can sing? That was
weird.
I liked her in the role. I thought she
great. But they cut that cootie Brittany. Song, but she can sing.
Yeah.
So it was weird.
That was the thing I was
thinking. They had nicest.
They did, because they did put in nicest girl in town.
Because it's all
or
the soundtrack.
New girl in town. Not
yes,
nicest
they
girl.
They put new girl in town,
but
which I also
she's
liked.
She's singing it with, like, other people instead of...
Yeah. I was upset about it.
Yeah, because that's supposed to be, like, not, like, her big number, but that's the one where she shines the most, and I thought it was weird that they were like, let's just put it in the album from somebody else.
Right. And then the credit.
And for me, like, Link, I like Link, but I just feel like Link is a very, like, meh character in the play.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, he's there. He's there for a purpose, but he's not someone that is going to, like, stand out.
Yeah, because even
It Takes Two, and then they pretty much cut that.
Yeah, because... yes. Because in the musical, you can fawn over him just as much as, like, the girls are doing in the musical, and you can love it and things like that, but his character never stood out, like, in my mind, because I'm like, oh, yeah, Link, the
he's
the love interest.
And Bye Bye Birdie.
That's it.
He's the same thing. He's Elvis.
Yeah, he's just there.
Well, he's the role that most women have in plays, which is like, I appreciate this flip of the script where you have all these kind of different mm-hmm. countercultural mm-hmm. types of people in the main roles, and then the one guy who's like the lead heartthrob guy role is like the role that everybody's like,
Yeah. You just didn't look pretty. It's funny because rewatching it too, when you think back, when I think of Hairspray, I'm like, oh, Zac Efron. But then you rewatch it and you really just focus in on him, he really doesn't do that much.
Yep, yeah.
Like, he comes in a scene and you almost forget he's there, which is kind of strange considering, like, I love Zac Efron and I think he's fantastic. But just, like, in the scenes that he is in, when you rewatch it, thinking back at that, you're like, huh, Link's just there, like,
he just smiles,
no, and then like randomly he'll throw in a line.
It's funny because they actually used this movie because they were about to film High School Musical 3, and at this point in time, his singing vocals were not very good in High School Musical 1 and 2. They had to like kind of put
the first
it with
one
another
he
person.
Didn't sing.
Yeah,
no, the first
no,
one
no,
he
they
did
took
sing.
Someone totally different. I can't remember the actor's the singer's name.
Drew Seeley.
Thank you. I love him. But the fact that they were like, okay, if you do this musical, we want to actually hear you sing, and so he actually went through vocal training and all that kind of stuff. Even though he only did 2 songs.
Sounds good, though.
But he did better from High School Musical 3. It taught him how to be better at it. And then after that, he was like, no more musicals.
Yeah. Interesting fact about the not singing thing is that in Garrett Clayton's Disney movie, he didn't sing in the first one either.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
The Curse of the Lynx. He never liked his voice. And now when he did Hairspray, he worked on it. And then he's like, okay. But
to
I'm
be
still
fair
not doing
to Matthew
anymore.
Morrison, though, he can sing. So.
Oh yeah, no, I know. Yeah. Oh, I'm just saying. Like, sorry, TV and movie,
TV and movies just never. Yeah.
Nope.
But Matthew Morrison's amazing.
But this next person, I knew about his voice so as soon as I heard he was in this movie. I lost my mind. He is fantastic.
We tried to get him in here. Unfortunately, his schedule didn't work out. He's a friend of one of the hosts here, but he did an amazing job.
I used to go to his family's church or something like a long time ago. So I used to listen to him sing there, and then all of a sudden, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, he's really good.
All I could think, though, during most of this movie is, like, how many showers does it take to get that grease out of his hair?
I don't even want to know. It's rough. Because I've, it's not, like, hair glow, like, that stuff that you would see in, like, Coming
to America.
And
for some reason, like, his was a lot, seemed a lot more intense than, like,
I think
even,
it's a
like,
mixture
boys.
Of grease and a little bit of gel and hairspray. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they usually do to get that perfect curl and then bring it back. But that's just from guys that I know that make their hair look like that. They could have used something totally different. It's not the greatest. It makes your head hard as a rock. It's terrible.
And then we also had Allison Janney.
I love her.
Pinkerton's mother, Prudence Pinkerton.
She was great.
Yeah, she was great. She was the perfect choice for that role.
Yeah.
We also had great cameos. We had Jerry Stiller, who was the original Wilbur in the 88 film. We had Ricky Lake.
Yep.
John Waters as the...
As the Flasher!
As the Flasher.
Yeah, I love it.
And then even Marissa, Jarrett Wincor, and Harvey Weinstein, and Corey Reynolds, who was the original Seaweed, they all made appearances, not visually, but they sang on the credits.
They
songs.
Did, yes. Mm-hmm.
So I like that they did include those things for like the fans of the film and of the play.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's talk about the cut songs. So we cut Mom, I'm a Big Girl Now.
No.
I'm going to put It Takes Two. I'm putting It Takes Two because it got this much of
it
the
did.
Song. Big Dollhouse. And, I wrote Mom, I'm a Big Girl Now twice. That's how much I was
that's
upset
how
about.
I hate you.
And, that's one of my favorite
and
songs.
And Cooties.
Yeah. The reason I heard that they did that was this was part of Adam Shankman's plan to take camp out of a campy musical where he didn't like the 3 split screen.
Yeah,
and
I wrote that too.
He just didn't want to do it. And I'm like...
I just love that song so much that I just was really disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I thought having it in the live show, it like pieces things together for you at an earlier stage rather than like waiting to like hear more and like kind of see the differences between them and their moms or like what they actually want and their characters.
I like that it shows that each of them have issues with their mom and their mom is trying to control their life in a different way.
Yeah, I didn't like that they didn't have Amber and her mom see what their problems were until like the very end. It's like, mom, you're so controlling. Yeah. We could have known that.
It's like
earlier.
You're supposed to like be like, oh, they all can relate to each other
that's
on
what
some
I was gonna
level.
Say.
Yeah.
That it shows that all the characters. All the girls,
then,
teenage girls relate to each other.
No, I completely agree because the fact that when you come back to You Can't Stop the Beat, when even though we didn't get that yes you can moment, it didn't matter because then we got to see the Brittany Snow reacting to Twitch, the guy who played that dancer, having a connection. She's like, oh, stop it. And she's like, I don't care, mom. We lost. Who cares?
Yeah.
But like, it would have been better if we just had them just get into the groove just like
it in
the
also
musical.
Just goes with they cut a lot of her singing out.
Yep.
When she can sing.
Yep.
She's in Crazy Ex-Girlfriend now singing.
Yeah.
And then we have added songs. We have Lady's Choice.
How do we feel about that? Because I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it.
I didn't mind it. I just don't like that they cut other songs to make room for it. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then we had The New Girl in Town, which I thought was a really... I
enjoyed the harmonizing.
I liked that song.
Yeah.
I liked that it transitioned from the white to the black girls.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I understand why it wouldn't work in the play, because it was originally written for the musical, and they were like, it won't work. It doesn't add anything to the storyline, but with this one where you can montage it and be, it works.
Yeah, because I feel like in the play we don't get to see Negro Day, really. Like, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
In the movie, we got to see it. Yeah. Like, how it's supposed to work and how different it is from the usual corny comic.
And
Oh my god, the nappy.
The nappy.
Oh god, I love how Queen Latifah was just like nappy head. Yeah. And I was like,
we can just move
on. I also love that little moment where she's like, they wrote the song. You know? So you also.
She's like, how dare you?
Yeah, you see more of why the animosity, aside from the. You know, the obvious animosity that you're separating these people, but then the added insult of, like, taking someone's song that they wrote and saying that they can't perform it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm really quickly going back to Lady's Choice. I liked in the Hairspray Live that they gave it to Corny Collins.
Yes. I agree, too. I thought that was really nice.
I thought that was nice, too, considering that the kid who played Link was not a great singer, so...
Yeah. I thought it made more sense too.
I mean, let's be honest. And then you have him there with like the guitar, and he's not playing it. He's like beating on it and then tossing it around him. And my boyfriend who plays guitar was like, "Really? Just don't have the guitar."
What were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
No, and it's okay. I think I was gonna say that in the live show, it made more sense that Corny Collins would sing it because. Having Link on a stage in the middle of the high school was kind of like, what is the point?
What?
I went like that. Even like rewatching it, I'm like, what was the connection of having him like almost perform at this school? That kind of was like a lost cause for me.
Yeah, it was just a little awkward for me to have Corny Collins do it because I was like, oh, dude, you're a grown man, and you're singing to high school students. It's weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, but if you think about it, like. He's not that much. He's not supposed to be that much older.
Yeah, he's not supposed to be that much older.
And like women, and as girls, like you know, I fangirled over like Johnny Depp and
of course
Brad Pitt and all them. But and like they're much older. So like when you say that, like I'm the lady's choice. Like I think it makes
no. It totally makes sense of him singing it to them. It's just weird because he's like dancing with them and kind of like getting all real close.
Oh, okay,
and
I was that
like,
part, yeah, that part.
And you're like, wait, because this is really 16. Just saying.
No, that's what I meant. Because like him singing it, because that was great. I mean, I love it. It was just awkward for me because I was like if Becca, let's say, was 15, and then what is it, Daniel Huff? Did I say that?
Derek Huff.
Sorry, Derek Huff was dancing with you, which he's technically, what, in his mid-20s? Like, it's not like that.
I'd be down.
Yeah.
Derek
Huff is wildly talented.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. Yeah. I'm saying that's cool. Crazy. It's just like, if parents were watching that, they're going to say before,
oh,
though.
Oh, I understand.
You had your little finger up in the air.
I was going to say...
She's like, I'm really 15.
No. I was going to say I wouldn't mind having... James Marsden singing that in the movie.
Yeah,
that would be really awesome.
Especially because of the setting it was in.
He is my choice.
No, for sure. Yeah. Again, not a problem. It was just the older sister in me, if it was like reverse, I would have been awkward.
That makes sense. Totally.
Yeah. And then we had Big Blonde and Beautiful Reprise, which I didn't like because I didn't like what it did with the storyline.
We didn't need it.
Yeah.
And then we had Come So Far, Got So Far To Go, which I will, okay, I'm going to make an apology because during the live show, I said these were both new songs, which I know they aren't new songs. I was just meaning new to the musical because they're not in the original musical.
They're not.
That's what I meant by that. If anyone's watching that, watch that.
If anyone's really a stickler for that.
I mean.
And that one was fun. It was at the end.
Yeah, it was in the credits.
Yeah, you're good. I want to know, me and Jackie already said our diva songs last week. We have this little thing we do on here where it's like our diva song. It's our song that we just sing out no matter where we are from the show. Like if we were in the car, in the shower, whatever.
So oh my gosh.
You're basically your favorite song from the show that you like to sing.
This makes me so happy because I have a problem with singing Good Morning Baltimore. Like, I don't know why, but I just will start every morning. I'll just be like, not every morning, that's really dramatic. But I just wake up, good morning. Like literally, no. Sometimes I tell my family and my friends it's kind of bad. I have like theater like blurt outs. I can't help it. And I'll just sing a song.
I don't think that's a problem.
Good morning, Baltimore, and then like You Can't Stop the Beat. My roommates make fun of me because when we watch the live show, they're like, I know this song because Allie sings it in the shower every night. So that's Good Morning Baltimore for me, and You Can't Stop the Beat. Those are mine, hands down.
Alexis?
Mine is definitely I Know Where I've Been. I've sang it in church before, so that's always kind of my go-to song for sure.
It's a really beautiful song.
I'm not blonde, but I will sing Big Blonde and Beautiful. Till the day I die. I don't care if I'm a stick. I will still sing it because it's great.
And Becca, I have a feeling I know what yours is going to be, but...
With That Love.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Coming on my way. She was talking to me about it the other day about how much she loved that song.
I'm obsessed with it. It's
that
so
is a good song.
It's
That's great. Like if I'm like in and, a... Okay, sorry.
And You Can't Stop the Beat. I will get up and dance to that in any corner of the day, even though I'm not a good dancer.
Who cares? Who's that fun?
Yeah.
That's why it's your diva song. It doesn't mean it's a actual diva song. You're not an actual diva. Yeah. You're just like divaing out to it because whatever.
Yeah, it's like you think you're a good singer when you're singing those songs.
I think I'm a diva when I'm singing those songs.
Done.
Let's talk a little bit. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but like a little tiny bit about the dance numbers as opposed to the stage version.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I didn't mind this director because I know that's what he does. He does dance numbers. It's great. I mean, even though I like, what's the name of the director that does Rob Marshall. I think he should just stick to musical plays because that Pirates movie was terrible, sir.
It was a terrible movie, sir.
But Chicago, Nine, all of those films, fantastic. And I feel like if he was able to take Hairspray and make it his own, it would have been totally different. But those dance numbers were insane. He took a bunch of people from So You Think You Can Dance who didn't maybe make the finale, mm-hmm. put them in the musical, and they had jobs after that. Like, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. I really did like the dance numbers in this, and I like. With close camera options, you can see stuff, like, manipulate stuff better than you can on stage sometimes. So I really did enjoy the
dance. The dance numbers are very impressive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will say that as much as I am annoyed with Adam Shankman as, like, for his directorial choices, I do believe that he's an excellent choreographer.
Yeah.
And it shows. It shows here in this movie.
I feel like the dancing for me, it was like, why did I ever not have dance lessons? Like, I just, like, right? I'm just watching their dance moves because they're all so crazy talented. And the way that they move is so smooth. And
they make it seem effortless.
Yeah, especially, like, Seaweed. His dancing is just, like, you're just, like, jaw drop. So, for me, it just made me want to, I'm like, okay, maybe I should just get dance lessons now because this is, like,
I feel
so,
like that every time I go to the theater.
Right? when you leave, a musical performance, you're just like, what is life? Like, I want to be like them.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to try this dance move they were doing. It looked so easy on the stage.
Yeah.
No.
Ears looking nothing.
Like, no.
Let's talk about some changes they made between the stage and the screen. Mm-hmm. So we have, I put in I Can Hear the Bells because they took it out of the studio and they put it in the school, which I miss the choreography personally. I like the little...
Where everyone's kind of, the bell that comes back
freeze,
up.
Yeah. Freeze moment with the bell.
Yeah.
But I think it made sense more with... When you're doing a movie and you're trying to have, the narrative kind of flow better, there are a lot of things that are very stagey about that I Can Hear the Bells number in when you see it on stage. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like this made more sense than having him, like, freeze as she's, like, singing to him.
Yeah. It's still my favorite.
It's more, it made more sense to me.
The only part I didn't like about it was the creepiness in the bathroom.
That was a little strange. I forgot about that.
I was like, girl, you got some issues. You got to back
up. So in my brain, I was thinking that, like, maybe she wasn't actually there. She was just all in her head. But it was just really strange because she was just like,
you're just, like, waiting for someone to look up and be like,
yep.
Well, I love when Amanda Bynes Penny, she, like, when she, Tracy grabs the guy and throws him against the locker, she's like,
Yeah. It's just like in, like, the live one where Ariana Grande is just kind of walking around just like, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I like that Penny's involved in her fantasies, but not
Really? It's like she understands her to a level that she's like knows what's happening.
Yeah, she's like, calm down. Yeah. Let's calm down.
And then we also had, which I think is the biggest mistake ever, Tracy not going to jail.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think it's such a pivotal moment of the play.
No, but it's true.
Like, I think it's because it shows, like, such a huge thing. Like, she got sent to jail for this, that she's willing to stand up for their cause that much. So and it's much. Part of her, it's her
it
cause,
shows
too.
What she's willing to do.
Yeah, and I thought it was strange that they decided, let's just put her in Penny's mom's basement. I'm like, Penny's mom should go to jail because she's putting children in her basement.
That's true.
No, anybody, people are, I don't know.
Which then spurned the changing of Without Love because now we have three of the characters together, but because Link can't save her from jail,
he's singing to a picture frame
that is singing back to him. Yeah, and I'm like, what drugs were you on?
Because I was like, okay, I know you're not eating any of Mrs. Turnblatt's food right now, so it can't be her. You had that random candy bar under her pillow, which was also kind of creepy, and it just didn't make sense. And I agree
movie with Jackie where it's like a Harry Potter film, but terrible, where she's just like, I'm going to sing to you, and then freeze.
It was just a strip. I just really didn't like that they're singing this song about love, and they're all finally with each other, and they're all finally, like, giving out their emotion and feelings towards each other. And Ron and two of the main characters that are in love are not together.
Yeah. He's having ham with Mrs. Turnblatt. Yeah. You don't
want that happening. That's love.
But you know, like, then it doesn't make as much sense at the ending that they're together.
No, of course.
Because we never had that moment where they, like, came together and were like, you know what, this is how we feel about each other and I don't care and we're gonna be together.
Yeah. It was weird.
It's like, nope, we're just dancing together now.
Yeah. Cool. You get no sense of the relationship that way.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
And then we also have, I'm not gonna talk about Ed and Wilbur's marriage because we already talked about it. We added teens to the council and I only put this down because during the live one I was like, I feel like there's more names. And then
yes, there was a few.
When I watched the movie I was like, there's more names in this too.
Yeah, there are.
After in the Broadway show, after he's, what is it, Luann? Then he goes Link.
Yeah.
So there's like an extra like six people.
And I was
like,
it goes Mikey, Vicky, there's so Mikey, many. Vicky, Becky, something, something, and then Doreen. And I was like, why do we have twins on this movie?
Why do their parents name them so similar?
Doreen and Doreen.
It's funny because when I obviously like was a fan of the movie first because that was the first thing I saw, and then seeing it live, I was like, wait, where are the twins? So for me, as like that being my first thing, I was like, wait, that was what I was looking for because I was like listening to all the names, and then I was waiting for the twins, and then they weren't there.
I was like where are Noreen and Doreen?
I was thinking, like, about to be like, and then it kept going. I was like, what?
Yeah, you're like, wait. Yeah. So I think it's funny how the movie and the play can, like, completely change people's opinions because you're like, oh, I didn't see my girls on there. Yeah. Or like, oh, wow, that was really fast. There was only, like, six people. So just like with the live version where we had from the movie, we had this giant gym full of people. And then in the live version, you had the exact same people in this giant gym. So it was just kind of like, are these all the students?
Yeah.
What happened? So, like, I just think it's funny how the movie can change your vision on stuff because of the fact that you can have a bunch of extras and put them in the background to look like a bunch of students. And then in the play, you're like, yeah, it's just
because you don't have as much money.
You don't have as much money for a play. Yeah, so it's cool to see people's opinions after that.
Yeah. And then I want to talk a little bit. I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to mention it. You guys can go look it up if you want. It's on Wikipedia. You can. There was going to be a sequel to this film that they were going to make that was canceled. You can go look up the storyline. We're not going to get into it. But I just wanted to mention it.
I'm very intrigued now. I'm going to go look it up because I want to know what the sequel is going to be about.
It's never going to be about anything now because it.
But you
canceled.
Can.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What it was going to be about.
Yeah. Go look it up and let us know what you guys think in the comments below of that sequel and if you think it should have been made or if you agree with their decision to cancel it.
Speaking of sequels, I saw a comment about after Hairspray Live of someone like responding to the official Twitter and they're like, now I want a Hairspray Live too. I'm like,
okay.
We kind of finished the story.
No, I'm like, we get it. They're together. That's good.
Okay, so now I'm going to go into our news section. I'm going to start this off really fast with a video that we have. I want to do this because we're going to support our coworkers. We have an engineer, James, who recently got married, and we also always want to support creativity and dramatic and theatricalness. He had this dance that he and his wife, their first dance, staged
so adorable.
It is and learned, they choreographed a dance for it, and he edited it together, so we're going to just play it on our show just to shout out some love to him.
We love James.
We love you, James.
Oh, man, I love it so much.
Oh, my gosh, I already love it.
No, you're good. it's
like, that dress is beautiful.
Yeah, her dress was
it's
amazing.
It's so cute.
While we're getting that, okay, we got it.
Oh my god,
so cute!
Very pro choreographed numbers at weddings. I like that.
It just shows that you put a lot of effort in, and it's fun for your for your audience.
Yeah.
So cute. I hate it.
The ending's the best part. That you're going for the ending.
Yeah, no, the ending is my favorite part.
That dress though, like,
oh, it's
fab.
Gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
That's gonna make me cry, guys.
So, for my future husband, watch.
Right? I like musical dance numbers. That's actually something I always ask. I'm like, do you like Broadway? And they're like, no.
I give him props for that because that dress is probably like,
do you know how
wrong.
To
yeah,
sing?
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, I have tears in my eyes.
I know, but I just like to.
Yep.
Yeah! Oh,
that's really cute.
That's
so cute.
So adorable.
I love it.
So shout out to James, our engineer, who made an amazing, amazing video and took the guts and everything to do it in front of all of his family and friends.
Sure,
I love
sure.
it. Do you have his Twitter handle, Alexis?
Oh yes,
Jimbo in the booth.
Yeah, Jimbo in the booth.
Jimbo in the booth. At Jimbo in the booth. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jimbo in the booth. If you want to go tell him that you loved his video, that you liked his video, whatever you want to tell him, go there and let him know. So we just have a couple news things. I'm going to skip Harrisburg Live because we pretty much just talked about it. So we have Bye Bye Birdie Live coming up next year, which I found interesting because it's kind of very similar to Hairspray in some aspects.
It's
you know, it's an Elvis-y teenage girl. There's very different in some aspects, but it's also similar. I thought it was an interesting choice to follow up.
Race mentions, though, in there is Bye Bye Birdie, really?
Yeah, the Spanish. Hurts his mom being Haiti, not being okay with her being Spanish.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a big thing, though.
It wasn't, like, huge.
It wasn't as big.
It's just still there.
And it just is a very, it's a similar time period play. It's a similar campiness
play. But it's literally
play.
About Elvis. I mean, this is literally, like, Conrad Birdie is literally supposed to be Elvis coming back from the war.
Yes.
No, leaving for the war.
Or leaving for the war.
I just thought it was an interesting choice to follow up with Hairspray. I thought that you'd want to maybe get a little bit of a different
Hairspray
genre.
To me was one of the best live shows that
I
there
agree
been.
Completely.
I do. I think it was my favorite.
Yeah.
Same. Because I remember
Followed by Grease.
Yeah, that's
Hairspray
true.
And Grease are the two.
Because I remember watching
I liked The Wiz, too, but like Peter Pan and Sound of Music.
Oh my, I was just going to say, I remember weeks beforehand, I was like, Peter Pan!
I was so excited.
I talked about it to my friends, to my family. It was so
I was
excited.
So excited.
I remember turning it on, like, amped up, because Peter Pan's, like, literally one of
my favorites.
It was the first show I've ever seen live. Mm-hmm. Literally, I was so
it was very
and like, and I am not discouraging anyone who did like it. Like that,
oh, yeah.
It's amazing. And this is what these things are for: is for people to either discover these things or to have your own opinions and decisions on them. It just for me, it was.
Yeah, no, completely. I think that everybody did great in their own individual way. But personally, as someone that has seen things like live before, and someone as a huge fan, I was kind of just like taken aback, I guess you could say. But I mean, they're all very talented. It's not taking away the credit from them, but it was just very different than what I was expecting.
I feel Hairspray Live worked, like
as a
live musical.
It
I
did.
Felt everybody worked well
I think
together.
They did it,
I felt it worked, even
they
though
did
it had
it well
sound issues
with making it very much like the stage production with down to the costumes and the dance numbers and the way that they did everything was you're not going to go see the stage version and like there's going to be some differences but it's not going to be vastly different
and they seem to be hip to the fact that people will still watch this if you cast an unknown, which is something that happened with The Wiz as well. It's like they have
I would
roles.
Rather have an unknown that can sing well
and
act well than a big star that can.
Right. Well, I like having the unknown, too, because it's like you obviously have a supporting cast of people that we all know about.
Yeah.
And I think it's really exciting to have that opportunity to have someone completely new really shine and have their foot in the door. And I think that Maddie did an amazing job, you know, as a newcomer. And this was her first thing.
It was like her first thing.
Yeah, first thing ever. I mean, she's so young. But yeah, I think that's exciting for me. I like seeing someone new and...
I wonder, like, had it been flipped and, like, Nikki was in the live version and Maddie was in the movie, how, like, it would have compared, like, both.
Yeah.
The movie and
interesting.
The live version. That's what I was thinking at the beginning when we were talking about Nikki. I was like, if she were in the live version and then Maddie was in the movie,
like,
how would it be different?
Or would it have not been?
Yeah, would it have worked better or...
Interesting.
The last bit of news we have today is it was announced last week that they're going to remake a Little Shop of Horrors film for Warner Brothers. And I just have a test for I just have a fun game for everybody, I guess, where I encourage you to, in our comments below, cast who you think would be good in a movie
about Little Shop of Horrors now. That would work now, because obviously we can't use the same cast
as 8. Were they saying if it was a musical or not? Because it wasn't clear in the article to me whether or not
it was a musical, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I don't
know. But let's cast it as if it were a musical. Okay. I can only come up with one person so far, and that is Jemaine from Flight of Conchords would be a great dentist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He
would
be a great dentist.
I like that. I picked for the dentist. I picked. I have a lot of people up here.
I liked him in Moana as the crab.
Yeah, he was hysterical.
Oh my gosh.
I picked a lot of different people. I thought our favorite, Aaron Tveit, would be really funny being the dentist. I think he'd have a lot of fun with that, because I mean he's already played Danny in Grease, but I think he'd be fine. But I have like a long list, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
get
I know
it,
we gotta cut it short because we gotta wrap right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, go in our comment section and let us know what who you think would be good. Maybe next week we'll try to come up with a list.
Show of the year,
it is their last show of the year. Sorry guys, it's our last show of the year. We will see you next year. We'll put in our comment section too who we think.
We're doing Hedwig next year.
Yeah, we'll be doing Hedwig.
Oh, it's perfect for the music.
There's gonna be a bunch of great things coming up. Make sure you follow us on Broadway Beatdown on Twitter, at Broadway Breakdown on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Comment, rate, subscribe, go to iTunes too if you're listening on this and subscribe. Where can we find you guys one last time? You can find me over social media and over the holidays at atorres890. That's all over all social media, YouTube, Twitter, all that good stuff, because I'll be vlogging my travels during the holidays and stuff like that, and also playing video games so you guys can play with me. It'll be fun.
I'm 123 Jackie B on Twitter and Instagram, and Jackie B123 on Snapchat.
And I'm Allie Nasta on Twitter and Allie Girl on Instagram.
I'm Becca B Talks TV on Instagram and Twitter.
And I'm BFIPS14 on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find me later tonight at 8 p.m. on our sister network, AfterBuzz TV, talking about the mid-season finale of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, so check me out there. See you next year, guys.
Bye!
See ya!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.